morning as we focus on the birth of our Savior and recognizing that, again, He came from heaven to earth because He loves us. He came from heaven to earth because we were in a predicament that we could not get out of. We were lost, without hope, lost in sin, needing forgiveness that only can be given through a living God. And He came to live the life necessary to be able to die on the cross for us and pay for our penalty that we may be forgiven and have a right relationship with the living God.
Amen.
A right relationship with the living God. Is that not an awesome Amen. Thought? That our forgiveness has come through His blood, that we now have been washed, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our sins have been washed away, we are seen as white as snow,
Amen.
Our
Amen.
Sins are, have been Amen. Thrown into the depths of the deepest sea, they are as far from the east as from the west, meaning they never touch.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we have that hope in Him that He not only did He live that perfect life, die on the cross, He resurrected. Not only did He come back to life, preparing for us a new life that we shall too also have, for we too, who are children of God, will be resurrected unto life. He ascended into the right hand of the Father, and He is coming back.
Amen.
And there is a day coming where He will, where we will join with Him. Well, this morning's message is entitled, The Value System of Christmas. What I want us to think about today is, when Jesus came, there were some things that He presented to us that He has demonstrated to the world to tell the world that it is about Him. It is about His glory. It is about Him doing for us that we could not do for ourselves. The first one is this in our message this morning. God does not care where you come from. God does not care your background. He doesn't care if you were rich or if you were poor. He doesn't care if you're well-educated or poor-educated. He doesn't care if you come from a third world country, a progressive country, a modern country. He does not care about your background. What He cares about is your life,
Amen.
Your heart. We recognize that the Magi, when they came, they represent the affluent in the world. They were rich. And they came bearing gifts for a king. And it is important that this was so. They came bringing these things. And the shepherds, when they came to see Jesus, they represent the opposite end of the spectrum. They were the lowliest of people. Represented in the time of Jesus' birth, they were the people that were out watching the flocks. They were looked down upon. They were the outcast of society. They had an important task to carry on, but they did not even want them to come into the towns. And so we recognize that when they came to see Jesus, in fact, we know the angels came to them and told them where He would be, and they went to see Him. God did not leave anyone out. The Magi were welcome to see the baby Jesus. The shepherds were welcome to see the baby Jesus. You and I here today, it doesn't matter where you've come from. And it really doesn't matter how bad you've been for how many years. It's not a good thing. I mean, none of us should ever lift up our past and go, I'm proud of my past. No, we should say, I was like Paul, one of the worst of sinners. And yet I can be pleased to know that my Savior died for me and all of that has been paid for. And He doesn't see me as that individual. He sees me as His creation, as His child. And He loves me.
Amen.
And He wants me to be with Him.
Thank you, Lord.
I've mentioned a couple times that He came from heaven to earth, and in John 8:23 it says, and He was saying to them, meaning Jesus, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. He came from heaven to save us. In John 3:13, no one has ascended into heaven but He who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. I can just envision, because we know that Jesus was there at creation. He's eternal as part of the triune God. I can envision that throughout the 4,000 roughly years of man's history prior to His birth, Him waiting for that moment in time for Him to say, now's the time that I will be born in the flesh, that I may do this deed for the good of all mankind and for our, meaning the triune God's, glory. And He came and did for us, again, what we could not do for ourselves. You know, it's interesting, too, we think of Jesus, and in the Gospels, He's presented in different ways. In Matthew, He is the King. And in Mark, He is the servant. And in Luke, He's the Son of Man. And in John, He's presented as the Son of God. But when the Magi came, when Jesus was born, He wasn't born in a castle or in some major, you know, the throne room of some king. If that had happened, there would have been a problem. You and I, at least if you're like me, a common folk, we would not have had access to the throne room, to the crib of a king.
Amen.
He was born in a manger to where all people would have access to him.
Thank you, Lord.
And the beauty of the Magi coming, these wealthy, rich individuals, they saw nothing wrong with coming to the stable, to the manger, and worshiping a baby in basically where the donkeys and the sheep and the cows and all were at. They were okay with that. We should be okay with worshiping Jesus wherever we're at. Amen. Whether it's in a building over there, whether it's out here outdoors, Amen. Or whether it's in our bedroom on our knees praying at night. Our hearts go out to Jesus 24/7, or they should. The second thing I want to point out this morning is God does not care what you have. He doesn't care where you've come from, and He doesn't care what you have. The Magi, they brought gifts of gold and incense and of myrrh. You know the interesting thing about those gifts of gold, incense, and myrrh? Now, we have to believe that they probably gave quite substantially. Would you not agree?
Amen.
That would be. But do you see anywhere in Joseph and Mary's and Jesus' life the effects of that riches upon them that was bestowed there at the manger? Where'd it go? I don't know. I wish I could answer that. But, you know, they gave these gifts, and they're gone. Because the gifts of man are not the main thing. It's the heart that was most important that day that they came and gave from their abundance out of the heart for the living King, the Lord Jesus. Food for thought. The shepherds, as it's recorded in Scripture, we don't know that they brought any gift at all, at least in the tangible sense, the physical realm, but they came and worshipped. You see, what you have, like we take offerings at churches and we see them as an opportunity to worship, and it helps the ministry to stay flowing and so forth and so on. But it isn't. God isn't interested in your pocketbook. He isn't interested in your house or in all. He's interested in you. And we need to understand that and to embrace that. That God is interested in you so much that He would come in the flesh and die the horrific death that He died on our behalf, that we may have life in Him. So He doesn't care what we have. We recognize that the shepherds responded after they had worshipped the King. The Bible tells us the following. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. We don't know what the Magi did. We know they went back to wherever they came from in a different route so that Herod could not use them. We don't know what influence that the Lord Jesus totally had upon them, but we do know that they were moved enough to go see Him. You can believe that when they went back, they pondered all these things, and they were changed men by what they had seen. Nothing is recorded, so that's a little speculation. I always like to be fair about that, but you can't come face to face with the living Son of God and have worshipped Him and leave the same as you came in.
Amen.
Something had to change.
That's right.
The Bible just does not record that for us. Jesus set us an example. Jesus set aside the glory of heaven to live as a man among us. Could you imagine whether He was born in the manger or the greatest castle or whatever mansion on earth, how it would compare so little to what He left in heaven?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we go, well, He should have been born in that mansion. What mansion? Compared to heaven? There's no comparison. He chose to come and be accessible to us. Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 says, who, although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Some statements that we read in Scripture ought to just like smack us in the face or just make us go, wow. He became in the likeness of man. That means you and me. And people go, He doesn't really love us. Are you kidding? We already mentioned He gave up the mansions of heaven, came as a babe, born in a stable, hung out in a manger, lived a life basically of poverty as we know it on earth, died a horrific death, and we want to argue that He doesn't love us? What kind of proof does He have to give? I know what most people want, and I hope you're not in this camp. Most people want a God who beckons to their will. God doesn't beckon down or fall under our leadership. The clay never tells the potter what to do. The potter molds the clay, and He's still molding us. And you know the good thing about that is, think about this. If you're clay, and we are, if He's still molding us, that means there's still something to work with, something worth working on. where a potter comes across a piece and is flawed and is not usable, what do they do with it? They chunk it away. But as long as he's still working on us, and I know that he is, and you do too, that is a positive thing. Oh, but life is hard. Brothers and sisters, the Bible told us it would be. And most of you know me well enough, I don't try to overbeat that upon us, but if we don't have a right understanding of what we're going to deal with in life, when those troubles come, we're going to think God let us down. God didn't let us down. He told us in advance we're going to have these things. But he said something very important. I will be with you.
Amen.
Through those troubles. Jesus set aside the glory of heaven to come and save us, as already mentioned in Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. It's being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's a day coming where every knee will bow and every tongue will confess, whether they recognize him here or not. The unfortunate part, and we'll talk about this briefly in a minute, a little more, but the unfortunate part for those who do not profess him in this life, they will see him, they will kneel, they will profess that he is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, but that will be the last time they see him. That should trouble us. And that should motivate us to recognize that there are people who don't know him, who face eternity in hell, be technical, lake of fire, without him for eternity. The third thing I want to share this morning is God does not care about your religious background. We get hung up on that. Now, what he cares about, again, I repeat, is your heart. It doesn't matter if you come from the Baha'i, if you came from a Muslim background, if you came from, you know, the Hare Krishnas, or if you were a Mormon, or if you're Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't matter. In fact, it doesn't matter if you're Baptist, Protestant, Christian, Missionary Alliance, or not. That what matters is, do you know Jesus? Because when we get to heaven, there is going to be no Baptists, Presbyterians, or Christian Missionary Alliance insignia. There'll be people from all those groups. But we're not going to be, you know, in little cliques. We're going to be focused on, in awe, enamored with, if you will, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The shepherds were Jews. The Magi, they were Gentiles. I will say, though, notice who's absent. Who did not go and worship the King of Kings? Okay. The religious leaders. The religious leaders from that area who should have known who he is, recognized him, and been willing to lay it all down for him. But they did not go. One of our challenges in life, and you may think me crazy for making this statement, one of our challenges in life is to never become a Pharisee. To never become a Sadducee. But to be a disciple for our whole life. A disciple means to be a student of the teacher, and our teacher is Jesus Christ. And it's impacted upon our life, that teaching is brought about by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Number four, God is not impressed by stuff. The temple that Solomon built was magnificent, had gold and jewels and so forth. And could you imagine, even with the second temple that was built, as Jesus looked upon it and they said, you know, look at these stones and so forth. And Jesus says, well, you know, there's not going to be one stone left upon another. He wasn't going, oh man, they're going to destroy this temple. Jesus didn't care. The temple wasn't the most important thing. In fact, that temple had to be removed and the sacrifices stopped because he was the sacrifice. That temple was no longer necessary because in either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, my memory slips me on this, but it's either 1st or 2nd Corinthians, the temple's no longer in a locale. You are the temple.
Amen.
There was a Holy of Holies where the Ark of the Covenant was put, and the priest could only go in once a year. You are now the Holy of Holies because the living Amen. God is living in you if you know Jesus Christ as your Savior.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
What a gift that God has given to us. Not only did he die for our sins and give us forgiveness, he gave us himself.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to go down one rabbit trail. I'll try not to do too many rabbit trails. You know how hard that is. When we are living in a society right now where people are either one way or the other, all they want is the Holy Spirit, or they're so afraid of the Holy Spirit, they won't embrace Him. Don't listen to either camps. Focus on God. You and I should have a yearning to know God in an experiential way. Not knowledge only, and knowledge is important. It's part of the process. Not only in obedience is important. That's part of the process. But there should be an experiential nature to our relationship with Jesus Christ, and it is found in the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid of Him. Some people go, and I've heard this numerous times, and you'll read it recorded in books as well. People go, well, you know, if I surrender to Him, I don't know what He's going to ask of me. Who cares? Whatever it is, it's what His will is for your life, and that's okay. I mean, I can say this. I'm sure Kevin can relate to this. I mean, if you'd have talked to me, I'm going on 19 years in ministry this January. If you'd have talked to me 23 years ago and you go, you're going to be a pastor someday, I would have looked at you and go, you are nuts. It's not on the radar screen and it's not what I, but God had a plan. And so you only have one option if you're going to follow God's plan. You yield to that. You yield to it. Even when sometimes in the worldly sense, it makes no sense. But God makes it clear that it is what He wants for our lives. And that's not just for ministry as far as the pastor. It's for us as Christians, each and every one of us. He has a path for our lives. In all the beauty that God is not impressed with by the building, but rather seeks the heart of the true worshipers, churches need to know this. God's not pleased with a church in the U.S. any more today, and maybe less today, than churches that you would find in the jungles of China that worship in a thatch hutch. It isn't what you have. It isn't your stuff that makes you special to God. It's His love for you that makes you special to God. And sometimes we get so wrapped up in the materialism that we forget that it's all about worship and it's about knowing the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because I recognize that you're going to leave this earth with nothing, and so shall I. I will share one thing. I feel God gave me this vision years ago. I shared it recently, and I forget who I shared it with in our church, but I remember I saw this in when I was in Brandon, and it's just as clear as I was standing there talking to Jesus, standing on the steps of the church in Brandon. Now, if you've ever seen the church, it's a pretty humble church. Praise God they have a building, but it is pretty humble. And I don't mean disrespect, it's just the reality of things. And I remember, though, that you know the vision that I saw was Jesus asking this church. It had a really beautiful church, and the person there told Jesus, says, look at this beautiful building that we built for you. How magnificent it is. Jesus said, yeah, it's very pretty, very beautiful. He says, come, look at our bank account, how much money we've put away and we've been able to accumulate for your glory. Jesus goes, wow, that's a lot of money. Now again, this is in the vision that I saw, and then Jesus goes, step back, because I'm about to torch it all. None of that matters. If I could do this, and I don't know how to do this exactly, but I would like to reach the end of my life or hear that trumpet where I am broken, burnt out. Now, I want the broken, burnt out to match that moment in time. Not too early, but at the exact moment in time, that would be ideal. Amen? And that's our goal. Our last thing this morning is the conclusion, and I'm going to need some volunteers as I have an illustration to share with you this morning. God does not care where you come from. He made you and put you here. He put you where you are to begin with. Race, nationality, gender, none of that is important. God made you. He knows who you are. And if you know Jesus Christ, I don't care where you come from or your background, you're my brother or sister. Amen. And I should treat you as such. Maybe a little better than biological brothers and sisters. I'm just saying. The second thing, God doesn't care about what you have. He cares about what you have is not more important than He is to you. He doesn't say you can't have things, but they need to be held loosely in your hands. And that never becomes more important than He is to you. God doesn't care about your religious background. He desires that you would come out of any religion, rules of men, or life of sin, and enter into a living relationship with Him. God is not impressed by stuff. Don't dress to impress God, but dress to honor God. Don't sing loud to show off your voice, but rather sing loud to honor God and praise. And do not sing low to hide your voice, but rather sing loud to honor God and praise, because He gave you that voice. Amen. Even if you think your voice is horrible, God is blessed when you sing, because He gave you that voice. Do not give to impress people, but rather give as an act of obedience and an expression of love. Do not judge others by what they have or do not have, how they look, beautiful or homely, their education or lack of education. Do not judge others by their past, though time may have to prove their worth and leadership, but we don't judge people by these things. I need two volunteers to start with. Please, I'm not going to embarrass you. I need you to come forward quickly. We don't want to belabor this. All right, I have two. I need you to give everybody a plate. And Bruce, if you give everybody a cup. This will make sense to you in a few minutes. While they're finishing up, I'm going to need two more volunteers to come forward as well. Connor? Anita? Okay. If you don't want what they're going to offer you, just tell them that and they won't give it to you, but I have water for everyone. And we have maybe enough bread for everyone. You'll see. Anita needs a plate. Just a little bit, because we don't have a lot. Yeah, that's plenty. Yeah. And if you start running low on bread, go to half loaf. That doesn't mean you're isn't as valuable as everybody else. I just didn't plan well. Anticipation is keeping you waiting. Half a slice works. Yep. Doesn't mean you're less valuable, it just means I didn't plan well. We are almost there. Yeah, the amount of water doesn't matter, Connor. Just some water. As Connor's finishing up, I'll explain to you what's going on. You know, when we think of Christmas, we recognize that Jesus is the gift. He's the reason for the season. We can go into all those cliche statements, but He is the gift of God to mankind. And for man to really receive the gift, it's not enough for him to just have been born on earth and die on the cross. Someone has to actually give their heart to Jesus, reach out and receive Him, surrender to Him, and become a child of God through that act of accepting Him as Lord and Savior. Well, what you have before you is, again, the greatest gift is Jesus Himself. The water represents the living water, and the bread represents the bread of life. But I want you to notice something. Before you were ready to receive the living water or the bread of life, there had to be preparation. You had to have a cup. Someone has to share the gospel with you. There has to be a plate for the bread of life. You had to have something to hold that bread of life that was given. And once you had the cup and the plate, you were now ready to receive the living water and the bread of life. In your life, if you know Jesus today, you recognize that someone shared the gospel. And if you're like some of us, you may have heard the gospel more than once. And some of you may have heard it many, many times. But God continued to work. And you were continuing to be prepared. And then one day, you accepted the living water, the bread of life. And you became a child of God. As we think forward going into 2012, we need to be realizing that people out there, many of them are not ready yet to receive the living water or the bread of life. We share the gospel. That's the preparation stage for many of them, where they're receiving the cup, but it isn't. They're not ready for it to be filled. They're receiving the plate, but they're not wanting anything on it yet. They're not ready to surrender yet. But once they have the items that has been given to them, the gospel, the story, the good news of Jesus Christ, and is given to them again, something happens in their life and it triggers the memory. Whatever God uses at that point, once they're ready, there comes a point in time where they are prepared at that point to receive the bread of life and the living water. Our goal is to be the facilitators of preparation as well as the givers of, if you will, the Lord Jesus and those who will. Keeping in mind, some reject, some accept. That's not up to us. But we have a mission, and that mission is to be the preparers for the King. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day and what it represents, Lord, and we just love you. We thank you, Lord. Words cannot express the kind of gratitude and love that we feel in our hearts for you. We recognize that what you have done is beyond explanation, but Lord, at the same time, we do glorify your name and thank you for your gift. Lord, we recognize for those of us that know you, we are not what we were, and we're not yet fully what we're going to be, but we are your children. And we trust you. And we are waiting with anticipation for the end to come. But in the meantime, Lord, help us to be the facilitators of sharing the gospel. Help us to reach out to a lost and dying world, recognizing, Lord, that they don't even know that they're lost and dying in many cases. So, Lord, we have to be patient with them as you are patient even with us. And so, Lord, we lay this before you, that not NLCC be glorified, not that Pastor Leonard or us individually be glorified, but that you be glorified. For it's not about me or this church or us individually, it is about you and you alone. We lay this before you and thank you in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.